we have the conclusion of this incident. Well, not really the conclusion. David's sin with Bathsheba. The child dies. When he hears that the child's dead, he gets up. He's been lying on the floor. Gets up and goes and gets something to eat. And his servants say, when the child was alive, you were on the floor. Now that the child's dead, you just get up. He said, yeah, I can't do anymore. I've begged the Lord for all this time, and he still took the child's life. So I have to go on now. Now, this is one of those places where we see the scriptures analyzing something. It's where we finally get the doctrine of original sin. Here, David, the beloved of the Lord, and yet, in his family, there's war, his own son tries to kill him, there's rape of Tamar. And you say, why? This is God's beloved because of this sin. In other words, at the root of all this calamity and all the things the Lord prophesied happened, his son Absalom rebelled against him, took over the city, followed somebody's advice, put all your father's wives in his harem up there on the top of the roof, and relate to every one of them. And then they'll know for sure that the break between you and your father is over. They'd be afraid to follow you if you'd weaken, you see. Everything that God promised or prophesied happened. But the root of it was David's sin. You can see the same thing. God, who are God's chosen people? The Jewish people. Then why do they have all this suffering, all this exile, all this? At the very moment they were being created a people, and Moses was on the top of the mountain getting the law, they were at the foot worshiping a golden calf. That's the original sin of Israel. Now you see, in both cases, God didn't withdraw his love. David was still David. And it's his son. In fact, it's the son of Bathsheba, the second son, who reigns after him. God does not withdraw his love. But the evil that they've set loose is going to happen. God has never stopped till this moment loving the Jewish people. But there's been calamity after calamity because of this. Now, suppose you were a theologian and a mystic in early Israel, and you're trying to figure out, why does the human race, obviously loved by God, created by God, why are we in such a mess? War, thievery, cruelty, infidelity, murder. What's going on? Because at the very origin of the race, there was a sin. And so, by the guidance of the Holy Spirit, they arrived at that understanding. That was a revelation by the Holy Spirit to those wise men who were trying to figure out what could have possibly, what happened. There's a remarkable passage. I think it's in there. I forgot. I think it's in the Apologia pro Vita Sua, one of Newman's works, where he says, if I were to meet a young man full of promise, good looking, well behaved, and then see that there's something wrong with him, there's some depravity in him, I would have to conclude to what he calls some aboriginal calamity. This is what's wrong. Now, our Lord Jesus Christ, in dying in an act of love, has set it right. There will be a moment when it will be right forever. There will be no more pain, no more sin, no more cruelty. There will just be everybody thrilled to be with God, who agrees now to be with God. So David's sin, you see, is another illustration of this rhythm. Nathan said, among other things at that moment, the sword will never part from your house. And it never did. Now, this is what I mean about the Old Testament being able to instruct us, you see. There are consequences. But God not only mitigates the consequences, he enters with us into them. So much that he becomes man himself and takes upon himself the total weight of all the sin of humankind and reverses it. Nobody else could do that. Nobody else. And there's where our hope is, that all of this will be undone. There will be a resolution. Well, why doesn't he do it right now? Well, I think you'd have to go ask him. I mean, I don't know. But one thing you can be sure of, this is the best way. This is the best way. So that's why, in a way, you see, I'm saying this Mass in honor of Mary, Queen of Peace. Bring peace. There can't be peace so long as there is ego. Because if I want everything that I want and you want everything that you want, we're going to have a war. You remember how it says it in the letter of James, right? Why do wars start? Because you want to get what you don't have, and you want to go get it. That's why wars start. Is there an antidote? Yeah. Holiness. For ourselves, and for others. I mean, think. There weren't many wars or arguments going on around Mother Teresa because she brought peace. There wasn't a lot of bickering and war and stuff going on around Padre Pio. And so you see, in a very profound way, this is the Beatitude. Blessed are the peacemakers who lift from the world the weight of its sin, the weight of that darkness that creates so much suffering. And that's what we're called to. See, to be, you know, we sing that song, Lord, make me an instrument or the channel of your peace. And if you look, go through the songs, St. Francis, it's all about, you know, not seeking self.